Once again, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Friday, September 15th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Well, everything is just all fine in the world. It just doesn't matter. No reactions to anything. It's just another normal day here in the United States and in the gold market. But, you know, Monday is going to be an awesome day for gold. So, folks, those of you who are looking for gold and silver and you're just putting it off, I'd be saying buy it today, because I think come Monday we're going to see some good moves in both gold, silver. So they kept it all together, certainly with a lot of news that's coming out, both terrorist news, North Korea news, and economic news here in the States. All reasons why we should have had a stronger day. The dollar did fall today, but I think you're going to see much more pressure on it come Monday, and we'll touch on that after I do the metal prices today. Today we have gold down $910 for gold at $1,320. Was up earlier in the day. Had a reversal. Silver was down 19 cents today at $1,768. Platinum was down 16 at $972, and palladium was down $4, $923. And you very well could see the pressure on the industrial metals, the white metals, bring down the gold and silver a little bit. But to the degree that we saw today, now there's a lot of other monkey business going on in the market. So you have the USDX today. That was down 0.19 at 91.88. Crude oil was up 8 cents today at 49.97. And the paper markets today, you have the Dow up 64 points at 22,267. The NASDAQ up 19 at 6,448. And the S&P up 4 at 2,500. I know that's a record, and I know the Dow most likely is a record. So, you know, I know there's a lot of Wall Streeters that are scratching their heads and saying that are puzzled, extremely puzzled. But with manipulation, anything is possible. 10-year yield, 2.20%, and the euro was higher, 0.29%. at 1.99. And let's just go see. Oh yeah, that emotion that's driving the market, extreme greed, 76. So just 2 weeks ago, and I mean, we're looking at what 27, 37, and now we're at 76 for the extreme greed, 76 on a scale of 100. And I don't know what the people in this country are drinking, smoking, inhaling. I don't know, Al, but you had, let's bring up some info.
They're headed for a hangover that they're not going to believe.
I guess.
I mean, they've heard the extreme greed is going to push them to a point where the Dow Jones does something similar to what Bitcoin's been doing.
Yeah, I know. I don't mean to laugh at Bitcoin. But, you know, that's just the most absurd. It's anyway, the August, we had retail sales were out today. They were weak. They were revised. So, you know, the good old GDP number, 3.1%, you know, it was just a fake and phony number. And, oh, you're going to hear that, you know, the reason you're going to see these drops in the third quarter is they're already blaming Harvey and Irma. And, of course, you know, they might have a little bit of impact, but I don't think you'd see a lot of these revisions going back if they were the major impact. So, you know, again, you know, they're just, you know, stroking the markets. But the overall sales fell 0.2%. June sales dropped 0.1%. That was revised. Purchases at auto dealers dropped 1.6%. Retail control group sales, and that's used to calculate GDP, And, of course, excludes the categories of food services, auto dealers, building materials, and so forth. That decreased. Five of the 13 major retail categories showed a decline in August sales. So retail sales were weak. Andrew Brenner, from the head of international fixed income at NatAlliance Securities, said that central banks trump everything else right now. They're going to become much more important in the next wave of where markets move. Well, we already heard from how many central banks that they're looking to stem back the stimulus. You have European markets. You have the Fed that they're going to start dumping, getting rid of some of their assets, curtailing back some of their. I guess they're going to supposed to roll out the information this month. And I did see that Yellen was scheduled for a meeting or for a speech or comment, so maybe that's what she was discussing. But
maybe it was just a photo opportunity.
Maybe. Trying to keep her job. Mm-hmm. You know, she met with Ivanka Trump back in July, and shortly thereafter, a couple days later, that's when Trump said that he was still considering keeping her as the Federal Reserve Chairman. So, you know, I just thought it was kind of interesting that, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
I think they just exchanged recipes and Weight Watcher tips.
Well, you know what? Now,
you don't think so?
You know what? I could go off on the.
I know you could, and you're tempted, but you're
not going to.
It's Friday. We're going to end this program for the week on a fairly peaceful
note.
And I know
you were baiting the hook there, Al, and I'm not going to fall for it.
You came close, though.
I'll get you on break. You chauvinist. Anyway, they had another terrorist attack in London. It was a bucket bomb that was on their train, like their subway, and it was during rush hour, so there was a lot of chaos in London. There was a fireball through the train. People were burned. 22 people were hospitalized, and ISIS claims responsibility. So, you know, that wasn't a good way to start off a Friday, but that kind of overshadowed what was going on in North Korea as they did another missile test. And, of course, that one went over the Japan, the northern part of Japan. And, you know, the citizens of Japan had to do the duck and cover real quick as all the sirens and everything went off. So, you know, not a and it was interesting because I figured after the sanctions were approved by the UN, it'd be just a matter of days. Actually, it took longer than I thought it would. You know, it took them till the UN passed those sanctions on Monday, and it took them till, you know, Friday to do the test. I would have thought he would have done a little bit sooner, but...
You know what those tests are for, at least presumably. They could, if they're sending a missile over Japan, everybody's heard about these EMPs, the electromagnetic pulse effects. If they detonate a nuclear device at a particular altitude or at some altitude over a nation, in theory, one of these devices detonated over the center of the United States might be enough to shut down the electrical system for the whole country. Now I think that's hype. I don't think that would actually happen, but nevertheless, I think what they're signaling here is this is the second time they've sent a missile over Japan that I'm aware of, and maybe more than that. If they had a nuclear weapon up there inside that missile, get up to over Japan, we don't even have to target Tokyo or whatever. All we have to do is detonate at a particular altitude, and bang, Japan all of a sudden doesn't have any electronic devices, which should be character building. But that's the implication, and I don't know that other people would agree with that, but that's the implication for me. I'm not sure that, you know, military thinks that way, but...
Well, who knows, you know, their main, but for the distance, it can now hit, what's that base over there?
Guam?
Guam, yes, Guam. It can now hit Guam, for sure. Now, I don't know. I thought it could before, but I guess this is confirming that it can. So a lot of possibilities and certainly a lot of and, you know, and I think the market's not reacting because, I mean, I know why. But yet I believe a lot of people think there's no way we will do military action on North Korea.
I don't think there's any option. I mean, there is one option to not doing military action, and that's to admit that Kim Il-sung has won. All right? There's nothing we can do to stop him from having nuclear weapons and threatening to bomb Guam, Japan, and the United States. And as he has more powerful missiles, he'll be talking about Seattle and Los Angeles and Honolulu and, I don't know, Chicago before it's all done, and maybe Washington, D.C. There's a point here where you have to say, does this guy have to be stopped or does he not have to be stopped? Is he just all mouth or is this guy serious? And it's you can't just sit back and say, well, let's trust him to just be, he's not really as crazy as he acts, and maybe he's not. But nevertheless, you can't continue to threaten a nation and threaten to nuke cities in a foreign country without having somebody take you seriously and try to take you out. And I don't doubt that they will. It may not be military, but there will be something going on where they're planting people where they can take a shot at him. He's got to move once in a while, and sooner or later they're going to have somebody parked on a hill someplace with a rifle.
Well, you know, but I don't understand. You know, we know what he wants. He wants to be recognized as a nuclear nation, and he wants the U.S. out of South Korea. So you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we?
I understand.
What's the big deal? Give South Korea some weapons. Give Japan. Let them start taking care of themselves. I think they've grown up enough that they can take care of themselves. And, we can always be there for backup. And, hey, if those three want to get into a little shooting war, let them. But you know what? South Korea, that's the, you know, powerhouse of economic production coming out of South Korea, so you know we're going to protect that, and so that's what it's all about, folks. It always comes back to the dollar, to money.
It also comes back to politics in the sense that we've had, I think that we have 28,000 American soldiers in South Korea right now. I don't know if that's true or false, but I think it's 28,000.
What?
There have been tens of thousands for, I don't know, 60, 50 years? I'm not sure how long it's been since the Korean War. For over 60 years, 50s. Maybe pushing 70.
Korea's ended in the
48
early
50s. Or something like that. Was it? I don't recall.
Yeah,
but my
50s.
Point is, these U.S. soldiers that have been sitting there have been scaring the bejesus out of the North Koreans. They've been anticipating that we were going to jump them. And it's part of the reason why they have worked to build up their nuclear arsenal, because it's the only way they thought they could defend against an American attack. And we have been intimidating them for half a century. And so they said, all right, we got to have nuclear weapons to stand up against this. And now we are faced with nuclear weapons. We said, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Well, somewhere along the line, maybe we should have brought our troops home long ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't, there are consequences here, and it gets into the Hatfield and the McCoys, and one side is blaming the other. You started the feud. No, you did, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't exactly matter. The feud has taken on a life of its own. Who's responsible? I don't know, but no one is innocent. I mean, from this North Korean perspective, look, they've been worried about being invaded by the United States for decades, and they have, therefore, the only way they could defend themselves is nuclear. So that's what they did. And they sound like they're crazy, and maybe they are. But on the other hand, they are not, you know. And you have to look at this if you're going to get a resolution on this that might be halfway reasonable. We can cling to the idea that the North Koreans are all a bunch of crazy communists, and they must all die. Or we can start looking and say, well, you know, this is a reflection of the human condition. We've got idiots on both sides of the fence. And Hatfields are crazy, the McCoys are crazy, North Korea is crazy, Washington, D.C. is crazy. I mean, why have we been there? And I think the reason has more to do with China than it does
Japan.
With... Well, maybe Japan.
No.
I don't know.
And there's multiple. I don't think there's any one specific.
I don't know what the rationale is for this, but you can't just sit there and maintain a warlike posture for 50 years and then be surprised if you get dragged into a war. You know, sooner or later, you either have to negotiate this thing or you have to fight. And if we negotiate, we admit that Kim Il-sung has won. All right? He beat us. He outsmarted us. Our government sat on its butt
while he built more and more nuclear weapons. Is that what it's all about? It's all about male ego.
Now, don't start, Tony.
We can't.
We got past the last little confrontation peacefully. It was resolved in a diplomatic manner, and now you're ready to start it up again. We're talking about male ego now, Melody.
Right. Yes, I know we are. Speaking of one who has the big, and I say this respectfully.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
No. The one who has the biggest male ego in the country, President Trump. I say that kindly. You know, we talked a little bit about this earlier in the week when they passed the budget of what, the $1 trillion plus, and the military spending was in there increased. And this is Jason Ditz from the antiwar.com, and he said President Trump has become the third president over the course of 16 consecutive years to extend the temporary state of national emergency, which was imposed in the week of the 9/11 terror attacks. The state of emergency gives the president considerable leeway to bypass legal limits surrounding the military and the use of the National Guard and Reserve troops. Exactly how much this power is used in itself is unclear, as presidents have for years ignored a legal requirement to offer reports to Congress every 6 months on the matter, and Congress doesn't request. Officially, President Bush, Obama, and now Trump have defended the extensions on the grounds that terrorism still exists and is a thing. Legally speaking, however, the emergency declaration has intended to give the president flexibility until Congress had time to act after 9/11. That was over 16 years ago, and the temporary state of national emergency appears to be neither a real emergency anymore, nor, if we're being honest, anything resembling temporary. It's just become a permanent extension of presidential power. States of emergency are not uncommon in the U.S. More than 30 current states of national emergency remain in effect. 30. And Congress has never once reviewed one of them. President Trump has extended every single emergency which would have expired so far since he came to power.
The idea behind a national emergency is it's an excuse to suspend the law. Mm-hmm. You can kiss the Fourth Amendment and the Fifth Amendment and the First Amendment and a bunch of other things goodbye because they say, oh my gosh, it's an emergency. We don't have time to obey the law. And that's why they like it. We are now in a world where we have rule by man rather than rule by law. The law has been suspended by the premise of emergency. We're going to take a break, a couple announcements. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What is next, Melody?
I'm going to continue the special today. I'm going to correct the price by $5, $1,490 for Mint State 64 $20 gold pieces again. It's a brilliant buy at these prices at the peak. The fear-driven peak that we saw after the Great Recession, these coins were selling for $2,500. And now they're selling for a little $100, a little over $100 over a gold bullion coin. So you're moving up 7+ grades to get from a bullion coin to a Mint State 64 $20 gold piece. I mean, they're just incredible buys. And you get your privacy, you get your performance, and you get your protection against confiscation. So many benefits at a really, really great price. You really, whether you buy, you can buy 100 of these. The product is available. That's why the premiums are so low. You know, when you have record high stock markets and you have no fear in the markets. I didn't see what the VIX did today, but that's probably down to 9 now. Yesterday or earlier in the week, it was 10. It's probably down to 9 now. There's just no fear and there's just no concerns. This is always the place that you get where people are right before things fall apart.
Buy low, sell high.
You know,
you're going to sell high. You're going to sell when everybody is very comfortable with this.
So one day somebody's going to, but it's even beyond just feeling comfortable. It's beyond reality where these mind, what the mindset is that they're just frozen, and this is the peak. Every day that they ignore bombs going off in subways in London, the fifth terrorist attack, you know, in the year, and missiles going off, and retail sale. I mean, there isn't anything but hot air to support that stock market. So 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. There's only one other thing. I talked about this on the early morning show, Al, and this one just amazed, this little article just amazed me. May I talk about it?
You have my permission, Melody.
Canada, and we have lots of Canadian listeners. I don't know if you guys are aware of this up there in Canada, but did you know you have a competition bureau? It's called Canada's Competition Bureau. It was funded, excuse me, by the current Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I got a tickle. Say something now, just for 2 seconds.
The Bitcoin price today is $3,610.62. Would you like me to say more?
No, I'm good. I just drank my coffee, so I feel better. All right, so we're talking about the Canadian Competition Bureau. Justin Trudeau's government was funded to the tune of almost $50 million annually. They have investigated three organizations accused of denying mainstream climate science for over a year. They've been investigating these organizations for over a year. This agency was opened specifically to do this. It was a 14-month probe that's closed in June, citing available evidence, the assessment of the facts in this case, and to ensure the effective allocation of limited resources. It's going to reopen its investigation. The complaint was filed by EcoJustice on behalf of six prominent Canadians, including former Ontario NDP leader and UN Ambassador Stephen Lewis. And it accused these three groups, Friends of Science, the International Climate Science Coalition, and the Heartland Institute, of making false and misleading claims about climate change, including that the sun is the main driver of climate change, not carbon dioxide, and that carbon dioxide is not a pollutant. And this just,
I've set up an agency to go after anyone who refutes the government's propaganda.
The climate on global
they
warming.
Call it science, I call it propaganda. I don't doubt that there's global warming. I don't doubt that at all.
I think there's climate change, but it's not due based on what they say it is.
Yeah, they want to use it as a device to take control of the energy industry around the globe.
Yes.
They want anything that generates carbon dioxide, they have to control that. And they have an ulterior motive. You know, it would be one thing if we could talk to some scientific outfit that was perhaps sponsored by the government, but it was still objective. It wasn't there to push the government propaganda. Right? We could count on it. They would call a spade a spade. And if they find there was global warming and it was caused by CO2, fine. We could believe that. And if they said, no, it's not caused by CO2, that would be okay too. But we live in a society right now where we are so used to being lied to by government that we expect to be lied to. We don't trust what the government's... Who believes the government's knows numbers on unemployment or the inflation rate or anything else you care to mention practically? We are of the opinion, at least a lot of us are, that the government is falsifying the numbers. And yet the government insists that it must be believed. Or they're going to convict you. They're going to haul you off to prison. If you don't believe what the government's approved science outlets say, then you are some sort of a wicked individual. You're not entitled. You know, if they were going to jail everybody who made false statements, how many of our politicians do you suppose would still be walking around letting loose? You know, this is just nonsense. It's crazy, but we live in a crazy world. We live in crazy times.
But it's just, what would have they, I don't know how they could have found these groups guilty. You know, they didn't. They had to close the investigations, but...
What does it cost group to defend itself? If the government comes after you for one thing or another, say, we're going to charge you with launching moon missiles. You've been firing missiles at the moon. Okay, it turns out I don't have any way of firing any missiles at the moon. But by the time we get through court, what do you suppose it costs me to defend against the government's false allegations?
And this agency was opened up by the Prime Minister Trudeau. And I think he is very well liked up there. But, I just thought that was a very interesting. Maybe this is a test, too, to see how far they could have gotten away with it. And
I don't know if it's a test or it's one of those... Something is so
sure. It's a test because you're right, Al. Because eventually they will be trying to use this more and more often to control people's views and ideas and the ability to speak the truth.
Do you think Canada has an emergency going on up there, a general that allows them to ignore the law? I mean, we have 33 of them. It's only fair that Canada has a couple.
They might.
It may be part and parcel. It may be a fundamental premise for the New World Order. It's under the pretext of emergency, see? You can do anything you want during an emergency. For example, bad illustration, but an illustration just the same. If you're driving 50 miles an hour in a school zone, you're going to get a ticket. all right? Maybe even hauled off to jail. But if someone's shooting at you and you're trying to get away from being shot, you are in a state of emergency and you can drive 50 miles an hour in the school zone. They don't encourage it, but they'll recognize, well, it was an emergency, and that's the way the law works. In the context of an emergency, usually the conventional law is suspended, and you do whatever you have to do to survive, and they say, oh, it's an emergency. It's one of the most dangerous things this country's had. It lays the foundation for much of the trouble we've seen, we complain about, we sense. We've been in a continuous state of emergency since 1933, when Franklin Delano Roosevelt declared a banking emergency, and we had to get surrender the gold. That emergency, so far as I know, persists to this day. And what's wrong with that? We have Congress, and we have people in the legislature at the state level and whatever, and when we have a problem, for example, Hurricane Katrina came in and destroyed a large portion of Houston. Okay, we have an emergency in Houston. What's the government's job? The government's job is to take action and resolve the emergency and get us back to a state of peace. That's their job. What do? They say an emergency is a terrible thing to waste. They will drag this thing on for a decade. I'll bet you that the Hurricane Katrina emergency is still recognized 10 years from now. There will still be, oh, somebody's still trying to get $50 out of the government, and so the emergency can be continued. And under the pretext of emergency, the government can suspend the law, and it can do whatever it wants. And that's why they like emergencies. This goes along with Rahm Emanuel and Hillary Clinton saying a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. Take advantage. What is it when they're talking about crisis? What are they talking about? They're talking about an emergency. You can do what you want in that context. And you folks need to understand this, and you need to recognize that when the government says, oh, I'm declaring a national emergency, tell them to go to the hot place. We don't need any more national emergencies based on relatively trivial events. And if we have
and
them,
they have these
suspended in a relatively brief period of time, and we restore peace and law and order.
So many of these national emergencies, like Katrina, Harvey, Irma, they're tied to money, to get money to the areas. And you're right, it eliminates the law, and they get to do whatever they want, but for people to accept it, we'll give them the money.
They said as much in the article that you were reading from earlier. Mm-hmm. When you were talking, they were talking about it extended legal limits. All right, I don't remember exactly what they talked about, legal limits. What they're saying is they can ignore the law. Yep. Under the pretext of emergency, the government can ignore the law.
And budgets. Yeah, exactly.
And then we act as it's a surprise that government is growing.
And where's Congress?
Larger, more tyrannical, more oppressive, more regulatory. Why? Government doesn't have to obey the law. They're in an emergency, and they aren't going to resolve it. Again, Congress's business is to eliminate the emergency, eliminate it, and restore us to a state of peace. They don't do that. They drag it on and on and on and on so they can use the power that emergency offers to government. Mm-hmm. So they don't resolve. That's why we have 33 emergencies. Why do we have 33 emergencies? If I would like to see a list of them, I'm going to bet you that some of these things is like the Boll Weevil Commission. Maybe they're going to suspend that down here in Texas. In fact, I think they did back 20 or 30 years ago. It's probably the only commission that's ever been suspended. But the Boll Weevil Commission, this is grounds for a national emergency. You have to do whatever the government says because of the Boll Weevil. If you looked at a list of 33 emergencies that the government is claiming, all right, I would bet that you would agree that 30 of them, 25 at least, are without foundation. They should have been resolved long ago. But no, we have to maintain these emergencies in order to exercise unconstitutional power over the people of the United States of America. Emergency is your enemy, ladies and gentlemen, and the government exploits that enemy. They use it to their advantage, and they use it to your disadvantage, and you would do well. Congressman says we're going to have an emergency. Trump says we're going to have an emergency. Tell them to, you know, pound sand. Just deal with the problem. All right? Don't hype it up into an emergency that becomes an excuse to break the law. What else, Melody?
I just have one more here, and this is just a little pet peeve because I'm not really fond of Amazon. But Amazon Web Services has a new market for its cloud computing, analytics, and storage services. The Defense Department granted the cloud computing giant a provisional authorization to host Impact Level 5 workloads, which are the military and Pentagon's most sensitive unclassified information. This further bolsters Amazon's web services as an industry leader in helping support the DoD's critical mission in protecting our security. That alone, it just scares me to death. But you know what? In total, three commercial companies, Amazon Web Services, IBM, and Microsoft, are now able to host and store the military's most sensitive unclassified data. Why doesn't our military, with the billions of dollars they receive, have their own private web services
and their
cloud?
Because it costs money and they're broke.
Well, they're paying these guys.
Yeah, but they're paying them. Their argument
is they're paying these guys.
They get it less cheaper at Google than it is if you set up your own.
So now you have this one guy, Bezos, Amazon, who owns the Washington Post, who owns, it's just like, I don't know. Security, yeah, okay.
The only thing that's secure is making sure the people of this country don't find out what's really going on, because that's the only thing they really fear. They don't care about the Russians, nor the North Koreans, nor the Mexicans, nor Canadians.
Very true.
National security is an excuse to keep the American people in the dark. So, oh my gosh, this is very sensitive. This is national security. We can't tell you because you know how you are. We can't trust you. Because we got to protect you against the Russians or the Chinese or whoever. They don't care about those foreign threats. The biggest threat to the government of the United States is the people of the United States of America. Government knows this, the people don't. It has always been an adversarial relationship. It's the reason why they set up the Constitution with three branches and checks and balances and protection against guarantees of freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom from the establishment of religion, blah, blah, blah. Why? Because they know you couldn't trust government. It is an adversarial relationship. Government says, we're here to help you. The heck they are. They are not here to help you. They are here to help themselves. They are here to gain more power. They are here to raise your taxes. They are here to put you into poverty, make you more obedient, teach your children to be more obedient. The government's not your buddy, it's not your pal, and something should be done in this country to shut them down dramatically. We can't get away from government completely, but we could get back to the Constitution. And it's up to the people. If you want to do it, you have to do it. You don't want to do it? Well, fine. Welcome to the emergency. You're going to Sieg Heil, baby. Sieg Heil. We're in a state of emergency, and we're all going to say Sieg Heil. And be goose-stepping.
Well. I doubt we'll be doing that.
We'll be doing it figuratively. But, whether you do it objectively is doubtful. But figuratively,
anyway,
ma'am.
I hear the music.
Are you sure? You're not having one of those episodes.
Having a moment.
Okay, we're having that. All right, if the music is really here, then I guess we have to break. It's an emergency. And we have to stop the program to do some commercials. So please stay tuned. We will be right back as soon as the emergency is over.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Adisk. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. It's Friday. We're coming to the end of the program, coming to the end of the week. What's next, Melody?
Yes, and it certainly has been a long and interesting week. And again, folks, I have the Mint State 64 $20 gold pieces for you. Remember, privacy, protection, and performance with your $20 gold pieces. And they're just priced so right. $1,490 today. If you buy two, shipping is included. And so they're great little deals. But don't stop at two. You can get 5, 10, or 100 of these coins. So they're beautiful coins. We'll try to mix the dates up as best we can. There's a, you know, when you sell a generic dates, and that's all you really need are generic dates, you still get the benefits. And that's what people don't understand. You're paying a low cost for the benefits of a rare coin. These are not rare coins. If you want a rare coin, I have one for $20,000 plus. Those are rare coins. That makes you a collector. But the way the way these are priced and the way they're viewed by the IRS, you get all the benefits of a rare coin, but you're not paying the premium of a rare coin. So you buy the generic dates and you get into the Mint State 64 level, and you know, any coin that is certified, uncirculated, certified by NGC, PCGS, the two top certification companies in the country. And this industry has grown, and it's only expanding. And yes, the premiums are low compared to where they have been historically, but that's okay because everything always goes back to, and they perform the way they're supposed to. And that's what we do when we talk to our clients. We explain how they're going to perform. We don't promise you that they're going to go to the moon tomorrow, you know, like a lot of dealers do.
Well, Bitcoin's going to the moon tomorrow, isn't it?
Well, to the moon?
Stock market may be going to the moon tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's where your profit will come from too, and you'll never get it. But anyway, so these are great buys at this price, 800-375-4188.
An article from Phoenix Capital about Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, and the headline is "Cryptocurrencies Continue to Crash." It says, let's review the extent of the carnage inside the dark, cavernous catacombs of the ICO, that's the initial coin offering world, a place where outright scam artists get rich by tricking people into believing that their coin will make them rich. This has never been about preserving value, supplanting the fiat currency, but about promoting a bubble that is backed by venture capitalists. They're saying that when they say this, they mean the rise in the price of cryptocurrencies. And go on, they say, remember Fred Wilson, the man behind Twitter, Etsy, Zynga, and a slew of failed IPOs? Fred's been involved in Coinbase and in the blockchain since 2011. After Fred got in, this whole cadre of followers and sycophants followed suit. As of today, the industry is teeming with vultures looking to continue this Ponzi scheme thrusted ahead by lunatics by John McAfee. And bear in mind, I'm not saying Mr. McAfee is a lunatic. That's something that's coming from Phoenix Capital. But McAfee has predicted that this, I believe he's the one who said it was going to $500,000 a coin. Well, I think that's crazy. And I have to agree
You know, when Phoenix Capital says thrust to the head by lunatics by John McAfee, I can understand why they would say that. And here's some of the losers over the past 24 hours. Sprouts, 87% down. MergeCoin, 59% down. MegaCoin, 56% down. Ash, down 52%. Hishare, down 40%. Dogecoin, down 33%. Syscoin, down 33%. Siacoin, down 31%. Navcoin, down 30%. And these are relatively small coin operations, all right? They're just, you know, it's like kids setting up a lemonade stand. They're trying to see if anybody will really pay them big time for lemonade out on the street. And these coin dealers, I think I've seen that, I don't remember, are there over 70 or over 100 of these coins that are available on a global basis? I think it's over 100.
There's more than that, I thought. I thought there was like 700 or something. Just
I don't know.
Outrageous.
It might be. I don't know. It's something ridiculous. Everybody's selling a coin and trying to get rich off the deal. And you know there can't be 700 different varieties. We're just doing 500, 100, 70, 100. You don't have 70 different kinds of cryptocurrencies. What we have are 70 different kinds of packages. We're selling basically the same thing every single instance, other than the color of the packaging or, you know, a few details, but they don't count for anything. They go on and talk about, and here's the big ones. Bitcoin is down 16% the last day. Ethereum is down 16% the last day. Ripple is down 13% the last day. Bitcoin Cash down 20%. Litecoin is down 25%. He says, you get the gist. We're talking minus 13% to 60% moves in the past 7 days. He says, I hate to see anyone leaving lose money, but these people truly deserve to. They're buying coins with zero voting rights, zero regulations, zero oversight, zero compliance other than GitHub and Reddit peer review, and zero ownership in the companies they're investing in. These initial coin offerings are the essence of the company and mean nothing. The Reddit forums, as you would expect, are filled with people on suicide tilt and true believers with confirmation bias who are trying to say that this pullback and China and the China ban are a good thing. This pretty much sums it up, and that's the conclusion of the article. And the point is, I think the cryptocurrencies have, I don't mean they're going to be dead. I don't mean they're going to disappear and be gone. But I think the wind has been taken out of their sails. I think cryptocurrencies are now going to see some sort of stabilization, and it could fall $1,000 a coin and bounce back up $500 a coin. I don't know what it's going to do. But I don't think we're going to continue to see a vertical increase, price increase for entities like Bitcoin. We'll watch and see. I can't give you prophecy on this, but it really does look like the world is perhaps coming to its senses. Surely, the multitude of small coin operators have suffered such significant losses that I think most of them are going to file. They're going to file for bankruptcy, assuming they, you know, maybe they just shut their doors and turn off the phone. But I think they're gone. We'll watch and see. But that I think they're gone, and I don't think there's going to be much enthusiasm. Even if they hang out, I don't think there's going to be much enthusiasm, and I don't think we're going to see spectacular gains in the near future, and maybe not ever.
Well, you know, when the system begins to correct, people won't even give Bitcoin and these cryptocurrencies a second thought. Bitcoin, I think, you know, you have the markets hitting all these highs. It's something different. And once the things begin to hit the fan and things begin to unravel and gold prices and silver prices begin to, you know, move like they should do and so forth, cryptocurrencies won't even be talked about anymore.
They'll still be there,
but it's going to be traded like anything else. It's not going to be, you know, some sort of, you know, to where you're going to make 80,000% on your money and so forth. It'll just start trading normally. Mm-hmm. But right now, they're just, you know, people are looking.
Even then, I don't doubt that it will start to trade more or less normally. But the fact remains, there is no there. All right, fine. Buy Bitcoin. And today it's $3,610 or $20, but it's $3,600 and change right now. All right. What is that all about? What tangible reality supports? Where's the fundamental? And the only thing you can say is, well, it just is. You can't point to fundamentals. All right? And this is one of those things where, you know, I don't know if I'm going to invest my money. I think I'd like a little more, something a little more solid
like
than
Bitcoin. Bitcoin. Just is. Bitcoin is like the pet rocks.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly right. That's exactly
draw
right.
A little face on a rock, you know, and take it. I'll put it in a pretty little box. And, bring yourself home a pet.
I think when they first came out with cell phones, they had a pet that you could keep on your cell phone, maybe on your computer, I don't remember. And you had to feed it periodically and water it and take it for a walk and whatever. And you had to figuratively go through this. And a bunch of people bought this and was there for a while. And apparently it finally disappeared when people realized, you know, this, I really don't have a cat or a dog. I just have something on the computer that I'm wasting my time on. You know, you'd be better off just to play
or
something like that. Animal on your computer.
Even the pet rock, you got a rock.
The same thing with the tulip. The tulip mania. You at least got a tulip. Might have cost you several thousand dollars, but you got a tulip bulb for, you know, the equivalent of several thousand dollars back in the day with the tulip mania. This is just this can be used. It'll probably continue to be used, but
and you really have to know out.
It's kind of a good thing that it appears that the world. Maybe, I wouldn't bet on it, but it appears the world is becoming prudent and reasonable. And they're saying, wait a second, this doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? I think also.
You also have to understand what I think the majority of usage of these cryptocurrencies is for the dark web. I mean, it is not used as a, you know, it is used for pornography, it is used for money laundering, it is used for drugs. So you do have a different, it isn't the husband and wife out there on, you know, Main Street wanting to, you know,
trying to get that.
They're coming in at $3,600, but a lot of this is dark web money. And that's how it's being used. It's dark money. It's black money, whatever you want to call it, money.
Well,
so it's
another point about
criminal. It's, you know, to me, it's criminal. Somebody robbed a bank and here's money or something like that. But, you know,
Bitcoin has a $54 billion market cap. Now, that's not an enormous number exactly. I mean, but it's something worth considering. And I don't know, $21 billion for Ethereum, market cap $6 billion for Ripple and the rest of that. The one thing about this that probably ought to be one of the things at least that should be considered is that when we put our money into Bitcoin or Ethereum, we're essentially taking money out of the economy and parking it in these digital, I don't know, bank accounts essentially. That's money that's not being spent, at least for the moment.
Yeah, but you still have to realize
a lot of money. I wouldn't say that it's a lot of money, but I would say that, you know, the government has to be a little bit aggravated about it. They're saying this is tending to diminish the money supply, which would tend to drive prices down, which would tend to foster deflation, which would make debtors like the United States government have to pay off the debt with more valuable dollars. And in general terms, on a theoretical basis, government can't be too happy about that.
I don't think so. Bitcoin isn't any different than any good or service. So it's not a currency. So, I mean, people are actually purchasing something. They're not exchanging, parking their money into other money. So, no, Bitcoin is just, huh?
This is, people that are putting money into Bitcoin are betting that it's going to go from $3,600 a day to $4,600 next week. That's their
bet. But it isn't currency.
No reason for it, but that's their bet. It just is. That's.
No, I don't think the government.
I'm not saying they're.
It's an alternative to currency.
Antagonism. It's not enough to send out assassins and the rest of that sort of thing. But the government look at it
as a
general principle for the same reason they don't like gold. People invest in gold, park it. You park your investment, and it's currency that's dragged.
Wall taken Street doesn't like gold. Governments dislike gold for other reasons.
No, they all have
Wall Street. Wall Street dislikes it for that reason. They can't trade it and make additional profits from it and so forth. Government hates it for other reasons.
I won't say that these pieces are profound and compelling, and everybody is itching, and government is itching for an opportunity to go take an axe after somebody whoever's responsible.
No, but it does. I don't think it affects the money chain at all.
Not their favorite stuff. Not their favorite niece, nephew, son, daughter. This is not my favorite. And you can expect from that perspective that governments around the world will give the cryptocurrencies a certain amount of resistance. They may not try to destroy them outright and the rest of that, but they're not going to exactly welcome them. Say, welcome home, son. It's good to see you again.
Well, no, they can't tax it. They can't track it. They can't follow it. They can't, they can't do all those things that they like to do it with their little, fiat currencies that they have available to the general populace. So, anytime you represent some sort of a currency different than theirs, they dislike it, and they'll usually come in and shut it down and so forth. Just like China did, and China's like, hey, we're not going to recognize that.
We'll watch and see how it works in China. That's going to be a big story here in the next week or two. But in any case, we're back to the last 15 seconds or so, Melody. So I don't know whether should I try to get in another snide remark or shall I just...
No snides on Friday night.
Okay, no more snide remarks on Friday. All right, we want to thank all of you folks for listening.
I get enough of it throughout the whole week. Just give me a 15-second piece.
Okay, well, now we're out of time, Melody. See what happened? All right, we'll be back on Monday. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.